Hello, and welcome to the Learning College, put on by Vanguard Audiobooks. I'm Alex Linder. You can find this and everything we record at vnnforum.com, also alexlinder.com as a permanent archive, both of them. Today we're going to conclude Abir Taha's Nietzsche, Prophet of Nazism, The Cult of the Superman, Unveiling the Nazi Secret Doctrine. We're going to do pages 135 to 142. That's chapter 6 is the conclusion. It's a nice tight book. After that, there are only end notes that we've already hit the high points of. There have been a couple comments, and I'll address them on my blog at Alinder blog at .blogspot.com, where I do a daily commentary. So let's dig in. Chapter 6, Nietzsche, : The Prophet of Nazism. So back to her original title is the title of chapter 6. One epigraph. Quote, "And when we call out to this youth, marching under the swastika, Heil Hitler, at the same time we greet with the call, Friedrich Nietzsche. So said Alfred Boimler, B umlaut A U M-L-E-R, anglicized, B-A-U-E-M-L-E-R, Nazi Nietzschean scholar, Alfred Boimler. When we call out to this youth, Heil Hitler, at the same time, we greet with the call, Friedrich Nietzsche. Epigraph for the final chapter of the book. So last 6-7 pages here. She says, "The main objective, indeed the very significance, of the present book lies in its endeavor to prove that Nietzsche was the prophet of Nazism," which some would deny that there wasn't that much connection, but she's saying, yes, there is a very strong connection, "thus putting an end to the controversy that still divides scholars over the Nietzsche-Nazi connection." So her aim is to emphatically prove that, yes, he was their prophet. They were his actualization or reification. "It is my opinion that this objective has been reached, for the extensive, in-depth analysis of both the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines undertaken throughout this work has revealed Nietzsche's tremendous influence on Nazi ideology, highlighting the striking similarities between the two doctrines, and showing how Nietzsche's major assumptions were fully adopted by the Nazis, becoming an integral and characteristic part of Nazi ideology." It's like a thesis for a school paper almost, isn't it? "Indeed, both Nietzsche and the Nazis were vehement neo-pagans, calling for a revival of pre-Christian Aryan paganism, the, quote, natural religion, mainly based on ancient Aryan mythology and the, quote, esoteric tradition from India to Greece." And then in parentheses, "Manu, the Vedas, Brahmanism, Zarathustra, Dionysus, Prometheus," so Greek, Persian, Indian, Eastern, I think maybe even Zoroastrian. "Thus, quote, esoteric Nazism, or the Nazi cult, was a modern occult phenomenon, a spiritual movement with a new vision of the universe, heralding the advent of a new age for mankind, and preaching the coming of a race of godmen, or supermen, as exemplified by Nazism's main symbols, the swastika and the double S rune." So the swastika in the room are hints, "and was thereby a truly Nietzschean movement. As staunch neo-pagans, Nietzsche and the Nazis considered themselves as heirs to the Hyperboreans, or Atlanteans, the original legendary Aryans, and viewed the ancient Greek world as the pagan ideal embodying the aristocratic spirit at its best, thus venerating a veritable, quote, cult of an antiquity, Also, both doctrines believed in the eternal recurrence, in quotes, eternal recurrence, the ancient Arianist theory of evolutionary cycles. Furthermore, both Nietzsche and the Nazis rejected Semitic Judeo-Christianity, considering it a Jewish religion for the sick and the weak, a gross distortion of the original teachings of Christ, whom they admired as a spiritual liberator, and whose message, which focused on the Arian concept of the inner Christ, or God-man, they fully embraced. Thus, they contrasted Christ the hero, the Arian rebel, against the, quote, Jewish spirit, with transcendental Judeo-Christianity, the anti-Arian religion. So they are determined to make Christ, apparently they didn't doubt that he existed, into an Arian, and say that his doctrines were not just corrupted, but actually literally reversed by the Jew Saul, who became the Jew Paul, who founded the institution of the church, or came into it very quickly as it was really being institutionalized from just small groups of a Jewish sect. A central theme in Nietzsche's philosophy is the will to power concept, which the Nazis wholly embraced. Thus did Nietzsche and the Nazis acknowledge the will to power as the motor of history, the life principle, and ultimate reality. Indeed, Nazism embraced Nietzsche's definition of the will to power as the origin of morality, itself being a morality of masters beyond good and evil, direct quote, as well as Nietzsche's famous proclamation of the, quote, death of the, quote, transcendent God of Judeo-Christianity, i.e. the self-overcoming of the Christian morality and its conception of, quote, another world as a flight from and a curse to the present world. The, quote, death of God thus meant man's great liberation and his possibility to become divine and thus to achieve perfection in the here and now. Become the God-man, ascend the ladder of evolution, willed evolution, and become the God-man, synthetic, artificial, man-created, but yet in line with nature's aristocratic principle, to rise the ladder through competition and strife and struggle and self-overcoming and overcoming others, driven by the will to power, the ultimate morality, the master morality versus the slave morality of Christianity. The, quote, active nihilism, or, quote, spiritual atheism, advanced by Nietzsche and espoused by Nazism, was thus the immanentist alternative to the transcendentalism of the Western Judeo-Christian tradition, postulating the will to power as the sole truth, the only reachable goal on earth. The Nazis also adopted Nietzsche's division of the world between the natural-born masters, quote, and the natural-born, quote, slaves, or the, quote, minority versus the majority, each having their own distinct morality. The masses have one morality, and the minority, elite, great men have another. And, in line with Nietzschean thought, Nazism admitted that the slave morality was actually predominant due to the victory of the egalitarian slavish or Slavish doctrines of Christianity, socialism, and liberalism, the fact which required a radical transvaluation of values in order to impose, in the modern world, the, quote, master morality, which was prevalent in pagan antiquity, hence the, quote, immoralism preached by both doctrines. So, unlike today where they make an opposition of Christianity and liberalism or socialism, well, liberalism, at least, or the Enlightenment. The Nazis and Nietzsche are saying, now those are the same thing. Christianity is the forerunner and the mother of that stuff, including communism, socialism, liberalism, because it starts with the soul equality before God. So then the difference between the Enlightenment and Christianity would be as fake as the distant difference between the Republicans and Democrats, or not a dime's worth of difference. Yet Nietzsche and the Nazis were no nihilists. Their, quote, active nihilism is but a means to destroy the corrupt, quote, old law tables and to replace them by new aristocratic values that would give a real meaning to the world following the, quote, twilight of the idols, i.e. the superstitions that have hitherto kept man in chains, hampering his progress. The concept of the will to power thus acquires a new dimension and a creative meaning, self-overcoming, and the Superman, i.e. the man who has overcome himself. Indeed, both Nietzsche and the Nazis preach self-overcoming as life's highest goal, ultimately leading to the Übermensch, Superman, the perfect man in body and soul, who would fill the vacant divine throne after the proclamation of the death of the transcendent God, i.e. man was now free to become divine. Contrasting the will to power as creative self-overcoming with the mere will to self-preservation of the vegetating liberals and socialists, the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines stressed on the higher man's willingness and ability to sacrifice himself for the sake of the sacred mission of breeding a higher humanity. The Superman, hence, refuses to kneel before a God in heaven, venerating instead the God within, and thus becomes a God-man, realizing perfection in this world instead of waiting for a promise of eternal bliss in the, quote, other world. Another dimension of Nietzsche's concept of the will to power, which the Nazis fully adopted, is the drive for conquest and domination. Indeed, both the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines glorified war as higher life affirmation, as the natural state, the great purifier, yet the war they venerated was not an aimless urge for violence and destruction. It was rather a, quote, holy war in the service of producing a higher humanity, a war waged by, quote, political or, quote, ideological warriors, quite similar to Plato's class of, quote, guardians. Nietzsche, in fact, contrasted his, quote, warriors, the, quote, fighters for knowledge, with mere, quote, soldiers. Nietzsche and the Nazis considered it a right and a duty of the strong minority, the natural aristocrats, the creators, to dominate and oppress the weak majority, the many too many, the shapeless, useless, vegetating herd, in compliance with the law of natural selection, asserting that exploitation, cruelty, slavery, and even the annihilation of, quote, millions of human failures, unquote, as a, quote, breeding process, in Nietzsche's exact words, have always been a characteristic feature of, and are therefore of the very essence of, all great cultures and true progress. So exploitation, slavery are not only natural, they're necessary, they're good. The aristocratic worldview of the Nietzschean and Nazi philosophies, whose highest aim was to breed a universal master race that would rule the earth, thus led them to despise all, quote, enemies of the Superman, namely the egalitarian doctrines of liberalism and socialism, or what Nietzsche termed the rule of the last man, of modernity's men without chests. The radically aristocratic Nietzschean and Nazi perfectionist doctrines, in fact, had but utter contempt for Western civilization, based on the Judeo-Christian tradition, 19th century Enlightenment and rationalism, and its two products, liberal parliamentarism democracy, and socialism. Considering that these ideologies represented mob rule, direct quote, the victory of the slave, and that their leveling character and highest aim, the will to mere self-preservation, could never produce greatness, could never offer the alternative to, but only perpetuate, the nihilism caused by the, quote, death of God, producing instead a cult of the mediocre in all things. This aristocratic radicalism, which Nietzsche and Nazism embraced, represented a third position between the two corrupt doctrines of socialism and liberalism, primarily aimed at consciously breeding a new aristocracy of blood and spirit, eliminating in the process all, quote, life unworthy of life. A nobility which, much like Plato's Republic, would be recruited from all social classes. Greatness is where you find it. It needs to be plucked out, you know, kind of like a goy state. According to Nietzsche and Nazism, that new nobility destined to rule the earth was none other than the, quote, Aryan and conquering master race, a universal race of supermen transcending the political boundaries of states and nations. Indeed, both the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines were universal, yet radically elitist, in character, despising narrow politics, i.e. the liberal minimal state, whose sole end was the protection of life, liberty, and property, in favor of a supranational, spiritual racism, or what Nietzsche termed great politics, a strong, highly authoritarian, and hierarchical supranational state which would act as a means for a higher goal, that of breeding the master race, and would therefore be the blueprint for an aristocratic world government. Such was Nietzsche's vision of the future Europe, and Nazism's supranational Aryan state, or, quote, Germanic Europe. Nietzsche and Hitler considered that the Germans, despite their conversion to Christianity, which weakened and corrupted them, and their, quote, racial degradation through intermixture with lower races, basically meaning other white sub-races, Alpine and Mediterranean, had an essential role to play, nevertheless, the Germans, in the, quote, great politics of the future, for they were still more manly and more creative than most peoples on the surface of the globe. Thus did the Nazis come up with a unique ideology, quote, racist nationalism, in an attempt to reconcile the often conflicting doctrines of racism and nationalism, turning Nazi Germany into the racial and spiritual center for all the Aryans of the world, a nation from which would spring the future, quote, lords of the earth. Finally, a characteristic feature of both the Nietzschean and Nazi doctrines is their virulent anti-Semitism, a racist aristocratic and spiritual anti-Semitism, which, unlike the traditional Christian and anti-Semitism, targeting the Jews as a religious community, condemned the, quote, Jewish spirit, accusing the Jew of being the supreme decadent, the typical Untermensch, the instigator and living incarnation of the slave morality in all its manifestations, parentheses, Judeo-Christianity, socialism, liberalism, democracy. According to Nietzsche and the Nazis, it was the Jew, that, quote, great master in lying, who produced a radical distortion and falsification of history and a total inversion of the pagan aristocratic values. It was the same eternal Jew, the slave who, out of his resentment and vengefulness against his masters, Greeks and Romans, brought about the, quote, slave revolt in morals, which is prevailing today, 2,000 years later, gradually Judaizing, i.e. corrupting the world, through the Christian values of submissiveness, meekness, pity, and humility. And it is still the Jew who is using the Christian, quote, holy lie of the, quote, equality of souls before God, a lie which was embraced by liberalism and Marxism, secularized versions of Christianity, to produce a bastardization or blood poisoning of the world as the only means for this, quote, lower creature to rule over strong, healthy, and creative races. Nietzsche and the Nazis thus dismissed the Jew from civilization and culture, considering him alien to the natural order, the living antithesis to the Aryan Superman. The Nazis were pagans. They despised Judeo-Christianity as the anti-Aryan religion par excellence. They believed that the will to power is the law of life. Their highest goal was the creation of the Superman. They venerated war as higher life affirmation. They regarded the exploitation or annihilation of, quote, lower races as natural, even a necessary characteristic of culture. They held a radically aristocratic view of the world, dividing men into masters and slaves. They despised the egalitarian doctrines of liberalism and socialism. They advocated the conscious and organized breeding of a universal master race, viewing the state as nothing but a means to the attainment of that goal. They had but utter contempt for the Jew, that, quote, typical slave, behind the, quote, decadent movements of Judeo-Christianity, liberalism, and socialism. All of these values and ideals, so characteristic of Nazism, were also the main tenets of the Nietzschean philosophy. The fact which brings us to the following conclusion. Despite all attempts by some scholars to distort and falsify this certainty, the Nazis were indisputably true Nietzscheans, and Nietzsche was their prophet. The Nazis were indisputably true Nietzscheans, and Nietzsche was their prophet. Indeed, with the advent of Nazism, it was as though Zarathustra had gone back to the valley to teach humanity, once again, the Superman, making sure this time to actually impose the rule of the Superman by the force of arms. When the endless columns of steel-helmeted SS, quote, supermen marched beneath the swastika at the massive martial displays and pagan ceremonies of the 1930s, Germany was effectively hailing the Nazi 1,000-year Reich, or Nietzsche's self-proclaimed, quote, great, far-off empire of man, the 1,000-year empire of Zarathustra. Nazism was primarily an ideology that was loyally dedicated to the creation and the rule of Nietzsche's Superman. It was as though the Nazis had only to put Nietzsche's words into motion. In fact, Hitler's, quote, Mein Kampf could hardly have been written without the aid of two of the great names in the cultural heritage of the world, Richard Wagner and Friedrich Nietzsche. And thus, Nietzsche's Zarathustra became the Bible of the Nazis, who proclaimed themselves his holy warriors, as Alfred Boimler, the Nazi official interpreter of Nietzsche, overtly declared with our epigraph. And when we call out to this youth marching under the swastika, Heil Hitler, at the same time we greet with a call, Friedrich Nietzsche. However, despite the striking similarities between Nietzsche's philosophy and the secret Nazi doctrine, one still has to wonder whether any model, ideology, or system could fully express the greatness and depth of Nietzsche's soul or embody his overflowing spirit. All attempts, from both the left and the right, to appropriate Nietzsche's philosophy and distort its universal and eternal essence and scope, are doomed to fail. For his unique thought of a higher order remains an infinite source of inspiration, an eternal call to create evermore the Superman, who, like Dionysus, will be, quote, eternally reborn and return again from destruction. And that's the end of the book. So she reprises her thesis. Yes, the Nazis were an attempt to put Nietzsche into reality. They believed exactly the same thing. And they went after it, the creation of the Superman and organizing the state to that end. And they weren't, you know, it's a little harder to see because they weren't maybe around all that long. But if they'd been around longer, we already have the idea of Lebensborn. We have the idea of the SS. We have the, you know, mother's medals for having a lot as they try to rebuild the Nordic segment of their community. These would be a good start toward building the sort of society Nietzsche was calling for. Anyway, it's been a fantastic book. I want to thank you for being with me, and I'll be back with you again real soon with another great work.